I'm Bethany Conway. Welcome to Courage to Live in Your Trueness podcast, where we talk about the real and raw process of staying true to who we are in everyday life. Learning to find joy, hope, and peace in the midst of it all. Hey, thanks for joining me for today's podcast. Super excited to be with you here again and having conversations about life, about journeying together, being courageous as we do day-to-day life and choices and showing up. And so I'm excited for today and what we're going to be talking about in today's podcast. But before we get started today, I want to give a shout out to Lenzel, who is in Cape Town, South Africa. Thank you so much for tuning in weekly to my podcast. So exciting to have somebody on the other side of the world listening in. And just want to say a huge thank you and hello from cold, icy, wintry Wisconsin. All right, let's dive into today's podcast. I am excited to have with me my dear friend, Naomi Bachmeier, and I have her here with us because, as you know, over the last several weeks in our podcasting, I've been talking a lot about the importance of relationships and staying connected and how that all ties into vulnerability and authenticity and how does that play out in our relationships. And I thought having my dear friend, my best friend, Naomi here with me today would be a great opportunity for us to start a conversation about friendships and how does that look in the journey and the process of being vulnerable, living authentically, and just seeing those that type of lifestyle, and not even lifestyle, but living that way. That journey and that process and how it looks in relationships and friendships. So I'm super excited to have Naomi here today. And so welcome to my podcast.
Yay! Thank you.
Hercules. Okay. But so Naomi, why don't you just tell a little bit about yourself? I know that one thing I think is awesome is that you and I joked years ago about through our journey that we would one day write a book on friendship because of all the stuff that we've been through. And I know just having this peace and this time together is just like sweet and cherished. So Anyways, squirrel for me, but tell us a little bit about yourself, who you are, why you're so awesome, because I know you're awesome, but share with the world why you're awesome.
This is good. So thank you, Bethany, for inviting me into this process. And it's been fun to listen to your process through your podcast. Having been friends with you for decades, really.
Yeah.
And just seeing all the places that you've gone through in your life and this new chapter and how it's taken off. And I'm just honored to be here and be a part of the process. As Bethany said, we have been best friends for many years, and we have, I think learned a lot about relationship and authenticity just through our relationship.
Totally.
I think that for both of us has broadened that. But me personally, I am actually the youngest of 10 kids. I grew up in a little town in Wisconsin. At the time, I'd say when I was about 6, I became an aunt for the first time, and I have 33 nieces and nephews on my side, and then through marriage, I have 6 more. And not only, Beth, as you know, are we best friends, but we're also sisters-in-law, as I married to your brother.
That is true.
One of the benefits of having friends.
Yes!
You marry their brothers.
The family. Yeah.
Family and friend.
That means that no matter what, we have to live with each other.
We're stuck one way or another. Yes. So as being a child, the youngest of 10 kids, and my parents each came from 10 kids, so you can imagine, I have a lot of family. But 12 people in a little house, I was exposed to a lot of different personalities. My first friends, if you will, the people in my world were my parents and my siblings. And so I had this crash course, I think, in learning personalities, because you've met all of my family, and there's only some similarities between some of us, but we're all very different people.
Well, what was it like at your wedding? I had the privilege of giving a toast, and I said, today we inherit an army.
Yeah,
you know, like
exactly.
Literally, we, our family of three, me and my two brothers, inherited, and my parents inherited an army. Literally,
yes. It's crazy with everyone. There's like over 50 some people with just my parents, my siblings, spouses, and children. So
yeah.
It's nuts. But it is just, what a unique experience, I guess,
yeah,
to grow
sure.
up in that. And I wouldn't know any different, but as you age and as you experience other people and you start to develop relationships, you realize that it's not normal. And well, you start to understand how different life is
yes.
for people.
Yeah.
And for me, I guess that training ground for friendship and also just how my parents were, you know, my parents were about 40 years older than me, and my siblings ranged in age 3 to 16 years older
wow.
than me. Mm. So, you know, I was exposed to people my parents' age or older than them
yeah.
that they would invite into our home as guests, and I'd have my siblings would have all their friends over. So growing up, I had always people at our house. We had this tiny little house. We were really not, we were pretty poor. But
never ending party.
But it was just, yeah, it was constant. It was just nothing special. But I think what people loved about my parents' house and about coming to our house is
yeah.
that they never felt judged. They never, you know, felt like they were a burden. We did not have much, but you wouldn't know that.
Right.
Like, my parents were always of this mindset of the more the merrier.
Yeah.
There's always room for more. You know, we'll make it work. But they didn't say those things like, we'll make it work. You wouldn't know that there's anything to make work. It just, you felt welcome.
Yeah.
And you felt like it was like coming home. You
yeah.
felt like it was comfortable. It was homey. And there was no real, I don't know, there's no airs. You know, you didn't have to feel like on edge or
right.
that you were being gonna be judged right. or asked questions of. You just felt welcome
yeah.
and part of the mix. And my parents always made everybody feel included.
That's huge.
Yeah. yeah. The inclusion factor, you don't have to talk. You can talk as much as you want.
Right.
But whatever it is, whoever you are, come on,
you're
welcome.
Yes.
And that, so I grew up in this model of seeing everybody's welcome. I'm not better than you. You're not better than me. Let's have a conversation or play cards or eat food. It,
yeah.
All those things.
Yeah.
And it was such a fun experience for me growing up. And being the youngest, I got to talk to people of age that were, you know, like I said, 40 plus years older than me.
Yeah.
All the way to, you know, my siblings who were 16 years older than me. When I was in school, some of my teachers graduated with my
yeah.
older siblings, you know, but I didn't think of them too casually where I thought I had privileges I didn't,
yeah.
but I also didn't look at them as intimidating.
Right.
I just talked to them like, oh, you're like my siblings or
right.
their friends. So in my brain, it just, I think I grew up always a part of the conversation, a part of the family, a part
yeah.
of the group, and always of value.
Yeah.
And everybody had input and value, whether
yeah.
you were the little me, you know, the little
yeah.
buddy, or my parents. Everybody had value.
Yeah.
And it was part of being a valuable member of the family was to just, I guess, be present, right?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And not steal the show and not feel like you couldn't talk. I don't know.
Yeah.
If that makes sense. Maybe that it was more and more unique how I interacted with people.
Yeah.
And how I learned to be a friend.
Yeah.
And yeah.
You said, you were telling me which about like being raised with this confidence that, how did you state that earlier?
Mm-hmm.
There was such a powerful statement that I think is like so different than some where a lot of us come from about how we see ourselves, what we bring to a friendship.
Sure.
Can you share that with
sure.
us?
So for me, I guess I always encountered people and thought, there's no reason this person's not going to like me, so they probably will. Like, my entire life, I just thought, they're going to like me.
Yeah.
I still to this day have a hard time sometimes thinking, why wouldn't somebody like me? Because I just think, like, I'm cool. I'm
yes.
a great person. And they're cool. Like, I just think, why wouldn't somebody want to be friends with me? They don't know me, and I am pretty cool. But I just, you know what I mean? Like, I just always thought there's no reason why they wouldn't.
Yes.
So I couldn't even entertain in my mind that somebody wouldn't. And then if there was ever somebody who didn't like me for who knows what reason, like, it would bother me, and I'd be like, why wouldn't they like me?
What is wrong with them?
I just,
I am so cool.
It would bother me, because I was like, why? I couldn't understand it, because there was just no reason.
Yeah.
And I, when I was a freshman in high school, many of my friends were juniors and seniors, and same in college. And it just seemed like I gravitated towards older people. I think I just had a little bit more mature outlook and ability to talk to people because of what I grew up with.
Yeah.
But boy, I didn't have this, I guess I wasn't bound by social constructs or social norms, if you will, because I, guys or girls growing up, I was friends with everybody, and age, like, didn't matter. I, you know, if you were a teacher or a coach, or you were a senior and I was a freshman, or you were, you know, when you had your coffee shop and I'd go and talk to the older folks who were the regulars who would come in and sit there, enjoy coffee. And you guys, you know, your family would joke around and laugh because I'd be talking to the old people. But I love old people because I grew up with old people and my parents, you know, became old people. Yeah. And I just have a spot for that because I'm not
the wide spectrum you grew up in.
I'm so comfortable in it.
Yeah. And I, you know, and the thing is, that's such a special gift, like something to be cherished when you talk about the confidence that you have of knowing that you bring great value to a friendship. And why shouldn't anybody like you? Because I know that so many people grow up with, I'm just thinking from my own experiences, the fear of rejection or you get rejected in a moment that's critical when you're maybe in elementary school or, you know, just different peer groups, and everybody just so badly wants to belong and feel a part of something and find that special someone that is going to be their BFF forever. But where rejection comes in, and then it kind of creates this fear of really letting people in, being vulnerable, being authentic, and, you know, where you may walk into a room and everybody should like me. Here I am. And no, by all means, if you ever met Naomi, she's not arrogant or prideful. She is one of the most amazing people ever. And but yet where I know she would walk into a room and feel that way, where if for me walking into a room, I used to think, and I still have to like take control of my thoughts and like, no, that's not the truth. Wait a second. That's a lie. Who am I? Like, wait a second. Are they going to like me? Am I qualified to be here? Do I bring value to this relationship? Or, you know, what if they reject me? What if I'm not good enough?
What if yourself?
All the what if. What if yourself out of a possible friendship?
Yeah, exactly.
And I think a lot of people struggle with that. So, and I know that that's been part of our journey, like walking through that. I remember the story when we were in college. Oh my gosh. Like, I was still very much at that place of being afraid of rejection. So, you know, you build up walls, like, to keep people at arm's length.
You had experiences.
I'd had experiences. Yes, where I'd been hurt.
Yeah.
And so I remember you saying, hey, Beth, we really need to hang out. Let's hang out this weekend. And so the weekend comes and
it was more specific. Let's be clear.
Okay. What was the specific?
I said, let's hang out this weekend. Does Sunday work? I know you go home on the weekends to your for church and for your family. I'm like, but you'll be back Sunday?
Yes.
Okay, let's get together this time. And we had a time set where we were going to meet up and get together.
Yes. So there were specifics to this. So I just because of my past hurts and just there are a lot of stuff that I've thanked the Lord that I've grown in and coming into maturity and healing and wholeness. But in that moment in time, I didn't think you were being honest with me. And I thought...
Or sincere,
right? So Sunday rolls around and I am still at home. Like, I'm a no-show. Mm-hmm. And kind of in reality, I really feel like I just pushed it out of my mind. Like, she wasn't really serious. So why should I bother readjusting my schedule? So then what happens?
So I think we were probably going to meet up somewhere on campus, but ultimately Yes, you were a no-show. And so I had your cell phone number, and I called you, and I was like, hey, Bethany, I know you go home for the weekends, and we had plans to get together, and you didn't show up. I just hope you made it safely. Yeah. So when you get back, would you give me a call? I want to make sure that you got back to school safely.
Yeah.
You know, just given your travels and stuff. So, all right, talk to you later.
As you're saying this, I do remember the feeling of when I listening to that voicemail, like all of a sudden realizing this person sees me, like this person really wants to get to know me. And I like, oh my gosh, what a jerk. You know? I don't think I ever owned up to being a jerk until like later in our life. Yeah. But just the reality of that's how I grew up, or my life experiences and things that had happened. That's how I perceived like some friendships and relationships. And so we had to work through that process.
And very close to that time of misconnection, we did talk about it because one, I called, you knew I was serious. Two, you had to own up to me, hey, I didn't know you were serious. And then we talked about it. Cause I was like, why wouldn't I be?
Right. Exactly.
I couldn't understand a world where somebody made hard plans and didn't mean it. I was like, what are you talking about? We literally said Sunday, 5 o'clock, X, Y, and Z place. I don't remember the specifics, but there were specifics attached. I know it. And I was befuddled how you would not think I was serious. I was like, who are you friends with? That's what I thought. I was like, who has been in your life? And we talked about it.
Yes.
And that's where I learned that you had had some past hurts. And I was just like, wow.
Yeah.
This was a vital thing that I learned at the time. And I think I developed it on the fly as we talked about it. But one of the things I remember of the time was saying that you can't assign past hurts to me.
Correct.
And it was like an aha moment for me, even though like I was the one saying it. It was like I was realizing what had happened is you had allowed other people's carelessness.
Yeah.
In relationship with you, not good relationships that you'd had, you had allowed that to be the veil or the glasses through which, the lens through which you viewed every other person.
Yep.
Except for maybe those long-earned, trusted relationships of old that you'd had back at home, the safe ones that you know.
Right.
But this was a new person, and you'd been kind of burned, and you were assigning on me... This past hurt.
Yeah.
These past letdowns.
Yes.
And you just assumed and wrote off that I had to be just like everyone else. And I was like, that's not fair.
Yeah.
You don't get to assign to me what some other schmucko did. And so that was a big thing. It was like, and we talked about it. I was like, no, you can't assign that to me. I haven't done that. I haven't earned that kind of dismissal.
Right. Right.
And I think that was...
That was huge. That was like, I know, a breakthrough moment too for me as well, because just like learning to, it was like an opportunity to trust and to learn, okay, wait a second, this person wants to get to know me. Okay, so as we've talked about vulnerability, like this in a friendship, that's where it starts. Like in real friendships, it's, I don't just tell you all of my stuff. Right. You know what I mean? It was little by little, we began to share those types of conversations in our life that took us to a deeper level of friendship.
Right.
Intentional moments, intentionality in you telling me, no, Beth, we had plans, you screwed up. And then me saying, you're right, I did screw up. Okay, how do I grow in this and learn to overcome these fears?
And I think part of it was we both intentionally just then did continue to get together. Yeah. Like then it was like proven track record, right?
Yeah.
I mean, then we connected.
Yep.
We got together, hung out, and you realized I was sincere.
Yep.
And that I could be trusted. And you allowed my track record to stand on its own, right? And I think that kind of intentionality and the allowing each new person that you encounter their own opportunity.
Yeah.
To prove themselves, right?
Right.
And you don't dive in, like you said, with all of your, I trust you, and you trust fall on this person.
Oh
no,
my gosh.
No.
Right.
But you test the waters.
Yeah, little by little, moment by moment.
And you just go, this person's become dependable, or this person's brought things to the table.
Yeah.
This person hasn't ever taken anything I've shared and used it against me. This person hasn't, you know, tried to one-up me or dismiss this and that, right? You know,
there was trustworthiness, some... confidential, yes.
It builds.
Yes.
And that became...
Yeah.
Ways that we take, you know, like, it's not like I never failed people.
Yeah.
It's not like we never even had times in our relationship where things weren't great.
Yeah.
Or that we didn't fail each other. But you have to, I guess, measure a person over some time and say, this is not consistent with this person.
Yeah. We were just in the last few minutes talking about the word came up, intentional mm-hmm. relationship and intentional pursuit. Like, I know that in our friendship, we purposed to reach out to each other. We mm-hmm. purposed to connect, and we purposed to, when we hit rough patches and struggles, to not just write each other off.
Right.
Because friendships are an investment. If it's, mm-hmm. if it's the right connection, and we can talk a little bit about that in a moment, you know, knowing if it's the right connection or not. And how do we determine that? But when it's you know, there's a connection, and not just, and you've invested, you know, you want your money back when you make an investment, you know,
when
you invest your time and your energy, and you know, there's something there, you just don't walk away.
Right.
It's worth the fight. It's worth the hard conversations and the heart connections so that you continue to grow in being authentic and being vulnerable and showing up and being real, like being naked, you know, like, you know what I mean? In the where you bear all with each other.
Yeah. Well, if you were hurt by a few people and then you don't let anybody in out of fear of being hurt, you also never fully are in.
Right.
And you never find somebody or somebody's like close people where you can fully be in.
Right.
Where you don't feel known. Because you don't have these relationships, you don't feel known, you don't feel valued, you don't feel valuable,
right.
You don't feel worthy, and you don't, but you're not hurt, you know?
Right.
Good on you, mate.
Like, right.
Congratulations, you've not been hurt for the last 5 years, but you've been hurting because you haven't experienced any real connection.
Yeah.
And I think that kind of walls, you know, wall building can... You just jip yourself out of something so good.
Yeah.
And I think I've had many great relationships and friendships in my life. I've got friends from kindergarten that I still get together with and see and cherish those friendships.
Yeah.
And it's crazy because those have been friends of mine for 30 years. We've been friends for 20 years, you and I. And I just think... You know, I've had good relationships, so why wouldn't I want to keep opening myself up to that?
Yeah.
And many people might say, well, once you have a couple good friends or you have one, like, that's good enough. And I just think God's heart and the heart he gives us is never that it just reaches a capacity and then it's full.
Right.
Then how does every mother who has another child have enough capacity for that child?
Right.
How did my mother of 10 children have capacity to love all 10 of us?
Right.
If your heart gets full in relationship because you have your set number.
Right.
You know, one child could have been enough, but...
She had 10.
She had 10. She didn't stop the love, and she didn't have less love to give. She had more.
Right.
Your capacity to love increases as you love more.
Yeah.
There's a...
That's good.
It absolutely... It increases as the demand increases, and it's not taxing, and it doesn't... You know, your heart just doesn't have room. No, it's never the case. So it's just this idea that you have X number of friends, and once you reach that quota, I'm set for life.
Right.
It's like, well, gosh, I don't know. You're missing out on a lot of people.
Well, and I think, too, like, just kind of piggybacking off of that, if you're putting all of your energy and time into just one person, and I know that I've talked about this in my previous podcast, where we have, like, those circles of trust and those layers that... Throughout our lifetime, you know, as research has shown, there are typically only like 3 to 5 people that really get into that journey with us through life in that close inner circle. And yet there are other levels of friendship, close friendship, and then acquaintances and people then you just pass in the street. But I think that you also, in a friendship, can't put it all onto one person.
Right.
We're called to have relationships and connections with many people. Yes, you know, everybody's going to have different levels and closeness that they come to you, but we do have to be able to connect with other people and relate to other people. And I know that every time I'm with you, I leave always feeling full. Like, and that to me is a sign of a healthy friendship.
Yeah.
When we're together, I feel like I can take on the world.
And energize and courage.
Yes. Yeah. And so, and I know that there are maybe just a couple other people in my life that when I connect with them as well, I feel the exact same way. And, but yet if I was always to put it on just you to get that feeling from, or just to have that full feeling, it would be exhausting for you. And because we need people from different areas and avenues of our life to speak into us. And iron sharpens iron, and just the joy that comes from that.
Yeah.
So I guess I, when you're talking about the relationships that you've had from kindergarten and people that you maybe even haven't met yet that are going to be coming into across our paths that are going to be deep friendships that will be for a lifetime.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe even part of that is like the seasons, you know, how we talk about there's seasons of friendship.
Right.
Like people come into your life for a season and
then maybe it's time to let go.
Time to go. So how do you handle that? What do you do? How do you know?
Yeah.
How do you know that when it's for a season? How do you process through that?
So personally, ways that I've seen that is sometimes people, they might become a fast friend, really, really tight, really fun. And this person's awesome. We could be best friends. And then it's kind of like you start to get to know each other more and some of the nuances or the personality conflicts become apparent. And you realize maybe you're not so compatible and maybe you're small doses people. And you just need to be with each other a little, just a little bit at a time, spread out. And it's and they're great, but it's got to be just confined to small doses. And for a little season, there's energy in new friends. There's energy in that. And it is life-giving. But maybe, you know, as it kind of devolves and it's not so life-giving, it's okay to let it go and not try to force it or be like, what's the problem? It's like, it's okay.
Yeah.
You don't have to stay friends and you don't have to be best friends and you don't have to not be friends.
Right.
Maybe you're just the season for which it was a good fit has come and gone.
Yeah.
And maybe there's people who come into your life, you were at a retreat and you really bonded with some people and you part company and you'll never see each other, but you will always have a fondness and you always remember that friend, that God appointed friend. And how I look at it maybe for that period of time, it was just an appointment.
Right.
And it was so perfect for both of you. And then you walk away and you're so encouraged and you're like, oh, that was such a neat connection.
Yeah.
And you'll never see that person again.
Yeah.
And that's okay. You don't even have to try to find that person again because it was meant for that day, that season, that weekend, that, you know what I'm saying?
Yes.
And it's just, it was so right for a time. Or you become friends and maybe you just grew apart and you both want different things in life.
Yeah.
And you're really not on the same page anymore.
Yeah.
And or you have kids and they don't have kids. And maybe it's not working for you.
Yeah.
Maybe it is, maybe it isn't. But you know what I'm saying?
Like,
different seasons and different things that people go through can also take relationship, you know, and kind of bring some distance.
Yeah.
And it's okay
to
let relationships go. It's okay that maybe you used to see each other once a week and now you see each other once a year.
Right.
How good is that once a year connection?
Right.
Is that still a deep, meaningful friendship? Absolutely. Did it change in how often you got together? Yeah, but maybe you were both young and single and now you're both married or one of you or both of you had kids. So doesn't that change the demands on your time frame? Maybe you live in different cities.
Yeah.
So changing how, not looking at how often we get together as a measurement.
Right.
For quality.
Right.
Right. And, you know, that's one of the things. But another one is just the pursuit thing, that intentional pursuit.
Yeah.
If you're doing that and you're like intentionally trying to connect to somebody, are they too intentionally trying to connect with you? Are they carving out space in their schedule right. to connect with you? Are you doing that for them?
Right.
Or are you like, oh, I gotta get together with this person? You know, that's a good indicator, right?
It has to be a mutual.
Mutual.
Yes.
What do you talk about? Yeah. Is this person a needy Neederson? And they just need you in their life?
A needy
because,
Neederson.
Right? Because you're a good yes. listener. Because you care about them. Mm-hmm. They can dump on you. And you right. give good counsel.
Right.
All of a sudden, what's the role that might accidentally form in your relationship? You're the counselor. Right. You're the dependable friend. They need you. Now you're friends. You can have fun and stuff, but they always also bring with it maybe some need for counsel. Mm-hmm. And then what happens when they don't need it anymore?
Right.
Or they feel bad that they always come to you with problems.
Right.
Then they turn on you and say, what do you struggle with? So those are my favorite scenarios that tell me it's time for an exit strategy. Because,
yeah. you
know what I'm saying?
Yes,
I have been
do.
In relationships where people, it just happened to be that they were struggling with something when
yes.
I met them. I happened to care.
Yes.
Happened to
darn
give.
Darn it, names. You yeah. quit being that good friend.
Happened to give good counsel.
Yes.
And then suddenly,
right.
I was blindsided by a person who needed me to have a problem to share.
For connection.
Them to feel valuable.
Right, yeah.
And I was like, well, I don't have something to share.
Yeah.
Or what good would a struggle I have right now do to you in the middle of your torment?
Yeah.
So anyway, all that to say, sometimes you have to like learn how deep to go
yeah.
in a relationship.
Yeah.
And you have to pay attention.
Yes, that's good.
Is it mutual? Is it healthy?
Yeah.
Or is it toxic? Is it one-sided?
Yeah.
Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And it's like, you're going to have people, like you said, they're always going to be a person that kind of looks to you as a mentor or a counselor. You're going to have other people who maybe you look to that way.
Right.
Then you're going to have other people where this is the person where I can go be crazy and silly.
Yeah.
Because I feel safe to be a complete nut job with this person. But I don't feel that comfortable with this
yes.
person who
right.
I can be deep and serious with.
Right.
Right. So sometimes people just play different roles all the
yes.
time, and you're going to do the same for others, right?
Yes, correct. You know, it makes me think of that scripture from the Bible where it talks about the importance of being equally yoked.
Yeah.
And where if you're an oxen, you have two oxens in a yoke, you know, and they want to partner them where they have similar strength so that they can carry the weight of that yoke together and plow and till up the ground and cultivate. So it makes me mm-hmm. think of friendships, like where that mutual pursuit, that mutually in it to win it, that means that I'm going to give the best of who I am to this friendship.
Yeah.
You're going to give the best of who you are to this friendship. And we're going to do it together.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to, and yes, there may be times that you struggle and I may be the one who gathers
yeah,
you by the
right.
arm and helps pull you along.
For
and
sure.
there's going to be times that I'm going to struggle and you speak into my life and I'm now
yeah.
right there arm in arm with you. And so, but yet we're together. It's not, you're constantly trying to uplift me so I feel as a better person.
Right.
Or I'm constantly trying to get you to feel like a better person. But it's a mutual growing, a mutual pursuit that keeps, that's
an
healthy.
Interest.
An interest,
and like,
yes.
how are you doing?
Yes.
You know, asking that question.
Yes. What's
or,
going on
yeah.
in your life? No, let me just continue to tell you about
yeah,
my
yeah.
life.
Yeah, like an actual interest in like, what's going on? Or I remember you talking about this thing.
Yes.
How is that going?
Yes.
You know, paying attention in
yes.
conversation. Oh, novel concept here. But when people tell you about something that they're going through
yeah.
in the workplace, in school, in a relationship, whatever it is, to come back to it the next time you see them.
Yeah.
Is meaningful. It's significant.
Yes.
It means, wow, you were listening.
Yeah.
And that isn't that hard of a thing to do, but that's a great way to be a friend.
Yes.
That's a great way to tell if this person's being a good friend.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. And too, like when you were talking about knowing when to walk away, like I know that sometimes that can feel scary.
Mm-hmm.
Like you think, oh my gosh, this one friend, I have to hang on to them because
yeah.
we've kind of broken through. We've had some amazing moments and knowing that
yeah.
season's over and instead of being okay with that was a great season, and things are changing, our lives are changing. Instead of just being okay with letting it go, you try to cling to that relationship, and to the point that you almost kill the relationship. Yeah. Like, no, we are going to spend time together. Yeah. No, we are going to be friends. No, we are going to do this. Yeah. And I think that can be just as dangerous or dysfunctional, sure, to a relationship versus if we give time and space for it to ebb and flow in, right, the seasons. Because I know that in our relationship, we lived in different places. We, mm-hmm, graduated college, and there was a time that we weren't connected like we, right, were in college. But yet then our paths crossed again years later, and we just picked up where we left off. Yeah. And it was just like, but we had done it in a way that, I feel like we didn't burn bridges. Like, right, we didn't kill each other, you, right, know, to a point, right, that
we kind of just grew apart sincerely.
Yes.
When you graduated and I was a year behind in school and we lived in way different cities. I mean, this was before social media. This was before, yeah, I didn't have a cell phone until I was out of college. So, right, it was before cell phones.
There was
no texting.
Yes.
So this was like a phone call.
Yes.
This was writing letters or an email. And it would have been like visiting each other. Like that, those were like
Morse code.
No. Yeah. But it's like
telegrams.
You just, you know, you drift apart because, yes, your lives are in completely different places.
Right.
And that happened with us.
Yep.
But then, you know, we both lived a lot of life in about, yeah, an 8-year gap,
yes,
where we were not connected, but we each had so many friendships and so many,
yeah,
things in life happen. You got married, you had 3 kids.
Yep.
I mean, then all of a sudden we reconnect. You and I both had 8 years of other experiences,
yes,
that we built upon. And when we reconnected, it was like, what I found fascinating was how life-giving,
yeah,
and we always connected so well in,
yes,
college, and it was life-giving and fun and energizing and all that, but it was like we both came into the reconnection from a place of you didn't need something from me, and,
yeah,
I didn't need something from you,
yeah,
and it was just so genuine,
right,
and so life-giving, because it was so, like, it was just,
yes,
there wasn't, it wasn't laced with needs.
Yes.
And it was just, we were so open to just give.
Yeah.
And we were able to be very sincere,
yeah,
and deep.
Yeah.
Because we weren't, I guess, we didn't need something from,
right,
each other. And,
right,
that was, like, significant.
Yes. And that's, I guess, where, like, it's like being okay with sometimes relationships,
yeah,
just the disconnect,
yeah,
and not scrambling to make something,
yep,
work, so that it came back like in like such an amazing way.
Yeah. Better,
like,
than it,
better than
ever. Was,
yeah. And yet, because we had gone through in that time frame, we grew through, went through life, the maturity, like there's a lot of maturity that takes place,
yeah,
in 8 years,
yeah,
of your life. And so to come back to that connection point was like such a sweet thing,
yeah,
that I know. So I guess, like, I want to encourage people to know that if a friendship falls away for a season, to not think that it's not going to come back,
yeah,
again.
Be open
to it. It could happen. But if you kill that friendship because you're afraid of losing it, where you're like,
yeah,
we have to do something, force it, then that friendship may not have survived. You know,
right,
what I mean?
Yeah.
I don't.
Yeah, because we weren't trying to force it.
Yeah.
We just drifted apart. So
apart.
It wasn't like we were, you,
yes,
know, choking,
yeah,
or trying to hang on to something.
Nope. Yes. But it's just amazing how that transition, it came back full circle.
Yeah.
And so just go ahead. You were going
to
say,
well,
something.
What was funny is when we reconnected and I came down to visit you, I came to church and your dad is a pastor and was pastoring our church at the time. And I was just reconnected with not just you, but your parents, mm, and your brother, Joe, who I knew quite a bit from back,
yeah,
in our college
days. Yeah.
And I had barely known Mike, my husband,
yeah,
my now husband, but I barely knew him in the college days.
Right.
But when I reconnected with you, I was reconnecting with you and your now husband, Nathan,
yeah,
who you were dating back in college,
yes,
and your parents.
Yeah.
Because we connected, and I got to know your family in,
yeah,
college.
Yeah.
Your dad introduced me during the service, and he said, we have a you know, Naomi Watska, my maiden name, here joining us, and she's a good friend of our family. And that was so meaningful to me, because we had lost touch for like 8.5 years, and your dad, the day that I come back into your life and I'm at church, says, she is a good friend of our family.
Yes.
Like he, and I knew he meant it.
Yes.
You know, I knew it wasn't like just because he was a pastor, that was the thing he said. Like he sincerely meant it. Cause I was friends with your parents.
Yes.
And so to have that kind of welcoming back was so significant, that grace to say, this is a good friend of our family. Yes. That was amazing to me.
Yeah, and I think that's the amazing thing about friendships is that when you find a treasure, a friendship, a treasure in a friendship, that no matter the spans of time, like how you said, we can go, so maybe it was, we got together every week and then a month and then now it's a year because we've got different paths, and that no matter when you reconnect in that treasure of a friendship, it is always so...
It's rich.
It's full. It's like good for the soul. And those are such amazing friendships that you just, you thank God for.
Yeah.
Like they're just amazing.
Yeah. And you know, just to be clear, we talk about friends for seasons and we talk about these ebbs and flows, right?
Mm-hmm.
But then there's also like friends for life. And like I said, I have friends from kindergarten. We have been friends for 20 years.
Yeah.
But once we reconnected, there wasn't much I wouldn't have done and wouldn't still do to fight to maintain our friendship. And and I think we went through more like harder conversations and hard things in our friendship, hard things that we walked through in our family.
Yeah.
And just in our friendship that we like had hard, not fun conversations.
Yeah.
Talking to each other about how our actions or how our words or just whatever made us feel.
Yes.
But we knew there was like a depth and a breadth to our friendship that we knew we could have the really hard conversation. This is going to suck.
Yeah.
And it's, you're going to not like what I have to say. Yeah. I'm not going to like saying it. And I'm not going to like hearing what you have to say. But then knowing that it's worth it because we had to talk it out and then come to resolution, and then it was like better than before.
Yes.
It was crazy. But when you understand the value and that there's an equal yoking, right, in relationship and intentionality and heart behind something, then you know that those are the friendships for life.
Yes.
Those are the friendships you fight for.
Yes.
And you have the sucky conversations for.
Yeah.
Right?
Yes.
Because that you do not want to take lightly.
Friendships are messy.
But even in our last, you know, since we've reconnected, this is, you know, 9 years ago, 10 years ago now.
Yep.
Since that reconnection, I would say that we don't see each other in this season.
Yeah.
How often do we see each other? Once every couple months.
Yeah. Yep.
And sometimes we'll see each other for certain get-togethers, family get-togethers, like where it's jam-packed into a month's time. We see each other 3-4 times. But we're no less close seeing each other once every 3 months.
Right.
Versus when I was living at your house in your basement.
Yes.
And seeing you and talking to you every single day. Right?
Yeah.
And it's not... And it,
yes. But the thing is like you laid the groundwork. You know what I mean? You put the time in.
Yeah, there's a foundation.
Yes, and that takes time, and it's messy. It's painful at times, just like what you said. But when you know there's that connection, you know there's that treasure. You know that this is a person you're called to journey through life with.
Yeah.
It's worth the fight. It's worth the hard conversations. It's worth the tears. It's worth, you know, like all of those things, those 2 a.m, 3 a.m, we need to figure this out. So that we just become better people, iron sharpening iron. And it's so worth it. It's so worth it for those, for that level, for those types of friendships in our life. Cause we need them. We're built and wired for connection. We're wired for relationships. And I think you're a fool if you think that you can do it without people. Yeah. You're a fool if you think that I can, like you said, I'm only going to give this much into the relationship. And then if it doesn't work out, I'm going to go to the next relationship. Yeah. You're robbing yourself of one of the greatest treasures, one of the greatest, good things for the heart and the soul in your life. And it's worth it. It's worth it.
Yeah.
It's so worth it.
Because I think if we didn't have this, I mean, like, I think people need to have a relationship like you and I have.
Yeah.
And it's out there for people.
Yeah.
It's hard work.
They do exist.
Yeah, they do exist. No, but it's out there, but you have to, this didn't just come without effort. People can look in from the outside and be like, I want that, or I want to be your friend. It's like, well, that's great, but, you know.
20 years in the making.
Yes.
20 years in the making.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So, you know, I guess it takes some effort.
Yeah.
It takes some time.
It does take time.
And usually time actually proves some friendships, right? Because
it does.
Some of them, just like we talked about earlier,
they're
fast friends, or they're for a season, and it's okay.
Yeah.
It's just that time proves friendship.
Yeah. Yeah. That's good.
It's the duration.
It's good. So with my podcast names, that's a nickname I call our names.
Yeah.
And Nomi, I think, was one of them. Our girls called you.
Yeah.
Namus. But, I love to leave our listeners with a challenge or an encouragement. And so today we're talking about friendships, and what challenge can we put out to our listeners today? What are practical things that our listeners can do to continue to cultivate friendships, and real good friendships that are lifelong, or maybe they're seasons, but what would be some practical things that you would share with our listeners today?
So one, I would just say, think of, if you want friends, if you want good friends, become a really good friend.
Mm.
Learn how to be a friend.
That's good.
And, you know, you just think about all the things that you, when you think about good friends, just be those things.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? If you
think,
what would a good friend do? Or what would that be like? Or, oh, I wish I had somebody who was like this. Well, be that to people. And it'll, like, work out the good ones, you know, the cream will rise to the top. And that's how I think I've been fortunate to have awesome friends in my life, is like, I think I've just been a good friend. I learned how to do that from my parents, and it's paid off, right? And the other thing would be, as you're doing that, you know what people like to hear? Friends tell each other, hey, you're awesome, you're amazing. You're funny, you know, you're really good at that, right?
Yeah.
And friends encourage each other. They try to help each other understand that, hey, you're okay and I'm okay, right?
Yes.
Friends make each other feel like a safe place.
Yes.
And not feel like I'm worried about how clean your house is, right?
Right.
Or that I'm worried that today you're having a hard day and you need to, oh, I'm sorry, I've been talking about myself, or like, I'm sorry that I had to, you know, share all this with you. It's like, no. That's why of course, tell me these things.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, friends make each other feel good and okay.
Yeah.
Not just like, you're okay. But you know what I'm saying? Like, people just want to know, hey, am I okay? Am I a likable person?
Yes.
And I guess one of the last things I would just encourage people to think about is, when you're in a room full of people who don't know each other, just think, they're just as nervous as you think you are about approaching somebody or talking to people. Like, I remember being at a summer camp for 6 weeks when I was, summer of my sophomore year, 50 kids from the Midwest at a college campus. None of us knew anybody. And I started telling jokes while we're all stuck in a hallway waiting to go into one of our classes.
I can still see you.
I don't know anybody, and I have no idea, but I just start telling jokes. And all of a sudden, I've got a group of like 5 kids, and then all of a sudden, more kids are like piling around, and I got like 10 or 15 kids around me as I'm telling jokes. And it was an incredible icebreaker, but all I could think is, like, they're probably nervous too.
Yeah.
And I think my mindset was, they're just as nervous as me. I'm going to try. So just try, you know?
Yeah.
You can't think that all they're doing is eyeballing you and judging you.
Yeah.
They're sitting there thinking, oh my gosh, I'm so nervous, or these people are probably judging me.
Yeah.
Like, if we could all just kind of get away from that thinking,
yes,
we might all be a little more generous
yes
with our conversation and with our interest in other people. and just get our eyes off of ourselves, you know? So yeah, those would be good. A couple.
That's really good names.
Couple things. those are practical tools. Yeah, but I mean, no, like, how about great. You?
I think, and as you're saying those, I think the biggest thing that I so agree with that is just knowing when you walk into a room, knowing that what you bring to the table is valuable for, mm-hmm. and there are people out there that I don't want to use the word need, but there's people that
are receptive.
Receptive to who you are as a person, and what you bring with you into a relationship is so valuable, and it is like, and that other person, there's a person out there for you, a friend out there for you that has that same value, and when you come together, it's like a spark, a fire, a flame that can't be put out, that can conquer the world together as friends.
Absolutely.
And so just like as a for myself, I know learning that piece is that I'm a valuable person, and there are other people out there that are just waiting to connect, and I need to connect with them, and what they bring, like what Naomi, you bring to this relationship, oh my gosh, it's exactly what I need. And I know that it took me a while to learn that what I bring into this relationship is exactly what you need.
Yes.
And we encourage each other, and we're strong for each other. And that would be my challenge for me, our listeners today, is to know that you are a valuable friend, mm-hmm. and to know that you are worth it. And having friendships and taking that step of vulnerability and putting yourself out there in the world and being intentional and pursuing is worth the fight for valuable friendships. Mm-hmm. And I'm so grateful for my friendship with you. And I'm going to try not to get emotional as we close out here, but I'm so grateful for my friendship with you and so thankful for the journey that you and I have been on, the highs and the lows and the ebbs and the flows. Oh, look, I'm rhyming. but I cherish what we have, and I'm excited for where we're at today in this moment, and yet even where the future is going to take us. So thank you so much for being here today on this podcast.
Thank you.
Yeah.
This is great.
Yes, it is great. And so listeners, I just thank you again for joining us today. So until next time, have an absolutely wonderful, friendship-filled day.